this week on Peace to Live By.
One way in which God loves us as Christians is through the angels that he has caring for us. It is true that angels do indeed help Christians. It's also true that oftentimes these angels will help people without them even being aware of it.
Welcome to the program today. Peace to Live By is a radio ministry featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton, found online at peacetoliveby.org. This program exists to build up Christians in becoming more like Jesus Christ and to give witness of the truth to those who do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior yet. Daniel seeks to emphasize clarity and factual truth about the Bible in this weekly broadcast. Now, here's Daniel with today's message.
Most of you have probably seen the old movie from the 1940s, It's a Wonderful Life, which starred Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. If you'll remember, that movie was about an angel named Clarence, and he had been sent to the earth to help George Bailey. Now, George had gotten himself into some trouble, or at least he thought he had, because his co-worker at the building and loan, Uncle Billy, had lost some $8,000. Now, in today's money, that would be about $100,000. That's quite a bit of money. When he and Uncle Billy couldn't find the $8,000, George went into a downward spiral, and eventually, he asked God for help. Clarence, the angel, was sent to help George, and as George is about to commit suicide, the angel distracts him, thereby saving him from carrying through. When George wished he had never existed, the angel allowed him to see what the world would be like without his effect on it. After George sees the world without himself in it and all the negative consequences, he realizes that he indeed was important, as all people are important, and he begs the angel to reverse the action. He prays to God, and life is put back the way it was for him. It is true that in times of desperation, God will help people by sending his angels. Sometimes, God has to allow us to get to a certain point in our lives or in a situation in order to wake us up to reality and to what really matters in life. And sometimes these events are preparing us for something bigger and better. It is true that angels do indeed help Christians, and at times they may bring Christians messages. It's also true that oftentimes these angels will help people without them even being aware of it. One way in which God loves us as Christians is through the angels that he has caring for us. Now, love is not a feeling, but rather a choice that a person makes, in this case God, to love someone or something. Married people oftentimes will get a divorce because one or both may feel he or she doesn't love the other person anymore. But love is a choice. If you base your love solely on feelings, that love will undoubtedly fail over time. God clearly shows a distinction between his love for Jesus, his only son, and his relationship with angels. It is noted of God the Father that, "And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" That's Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, and I will be using the English Standard Version today. So one way God shows his love for us as Christians is through angels who serve us. And angels are subject to God. In order for us to gain a better understanding of angels, I want to ask a series of questions, 10 questions total, that I will then answer. We will dissect from the pages of Scripture the different aspects pertaining to angels. I think these questions will make this information from the Bible easier to understand. First, let's ask the question, where did angels come from? Well, God created angels just like He created the first human beings. It is noted in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6 the following: "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you." So, God created these, quote, hosts, end of quote, the angels, just like He created everything else that we as humans see. And these angels live with God in heaven. But how many angels did God create? The Bible does not give us an exact number. However, there are several key texts that give us an idea or picture into this thought. The writer of Hebrews, in one instance, described angels as, quote, innumerable, end of quote. That's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Jude noted in his epistle that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth for the second time, that He will bring with Him, quote, 10,000s of His holy ones, end of quote. That's Jude verse 14. It is also noted in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 that, "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands." So while from these verses we cannot arrive at a definitive number of angels in existence, it can be seen that there are a lot of angels. Now for the second question, since angels are holy, are they to be worshipped? As angels are living with God in heaven, it can be noted that they are holy beings, for they are in heaven. But that does not mean that they are to be worshipped. The Apostle Paul warns against this, for he says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind." Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Remember what happened with the Apostle John when he went to worship an angel. In Revelation, it is recorded, "Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.'" One of the primary purposes of angels, then, is to worship God. The writer of Hebrews notes in talking about God's relationship with Jesus, and again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. So the angels provide worship for Jesus as God. The third question is, how do angels compare with humans in God's eyes? As it stands right now, angels are of a higher esteem or rank than that of human beings. It is noted in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8 that, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet.'" But one day, Christians will be of a high esteem like the angelic beings. The Lord Jesus Christ notes of Christians after this life, For they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. That's Luke chapter 20 and verse 36. Question 4. So what do angels look like? Genesis chapter 18 tells us that angels appear as men, so they look completely real, as if they were people themselves. Mark chapter 16 and verse 5 says the angel of the Lord was a, quote, young man, end of quote. The whole passage says, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. The angel in this case wore, quote, a white robe, end of quote. Now, angels themselves may appear by themselves, as we see with the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, or there may be a multitude of angels, as we see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. And what gender are angels? In the Bible, they're always men, but I think they could probably appear as women in human form if that was God's purpose and will. Question 5, now what about rank among angels? What is their makeup or order? The Bible does give us some details about the rank of angels. Angels are ranked like we see in armies of the world today. We can see ranks in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 12 in discussing Satan, and in Jude 9. We can also see titles as a rank, perhaps in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. This passage says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Note that Michael is called, quote, one of the chief princes, end of quote. Speaking of Michael, it is noted in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 that he had angels who were assigned to him. So question 6, can we as humans see angels anytime we want to? Well, obviously not, as we do not see them around us. I think it would be fair to say that we cannot see them unless God gives us the ability to see them. We see this example in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 31 when it says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face. So it seems reasonable to presume that angels are all around us, perhaps, but we cannot see them without God's enablement. Another example of this would be 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17, which states, then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. We could take Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 for another example of the shepherd seeing the heavenly host in the field. Bottom line is that God has the ability to enable us to see angels. But we need to be careful also, for the writer of Hebrews notes that, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. That is a very interesting thing to think about, the fact that we could be entertaining angels, people we come across that we don't know, and they're really angels. Question 7, do angels protect Christians? Are there guardian angels? And what about nations? I tied these concepts together since they are all related. For the first part of the question, yes, angels do protect Christians. Perhaps the best example of this is found in the book of Daniel. Turn with me in your Bibles or tap in your Bible app to Daniel chapter 6. Let's pick up in the passage after the prophet Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den, starting with verse 19. Then at daybreak, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. So Daniel was protected by the angel of the Lord, and it was because of his trust in God. Now, do people have guardian angels? Well, consider what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10 about children. This verse states, See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven, their angels will always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So it would appear from this verse that it is possible that people do indeed have guardian angels. But what about nations? Do angels help governments in accordance with God's will? In order to answer this question, I want to take a moment here and talk about my greatest American hero, who is George Washington. George Washington was a man of strong character and lots of guts, as those were things he had to have as he faced the British Army in the Revolutionary War. As many of you know, Washington in his life was a model Christian, though he himself probably wouldn't have looked at himself as such. He oftentimes felt very humbly of himself, if you read his journal entries. But Washington, without a doubt, believed in God and the work of his angels. And he can give us some background on this. For he said in his first inaugural address as president in 1789, No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right of heaven itself has ordained. Angels unquestionably, through God's provision, helped Americans in the Revolutionary War and have helped Americans in various times and trials ever since. Question 8, what is the future for angels? Now, angels are going to have a major role in end times events. Jesus talked about this quite a lot, and the angels are also talked about a lot within the book of the Revelation. Jesus did note that angels themselves do not know when the end time will be, just like he didn't know during his earthly ministry, and just like we as humans do not know. One thing Jesus said about angels at the end time is that they would be reapers. He states in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 41 through 43 about the end time, The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. But Jesus will also have his angels gather up Christians, as noted in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31, for it says, "And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other." Question 9, what does the book of Revelation say about angels? The book of Revelation, in very detailed form, notes the activities of angels at the end times. For example, the angels are involved with the 144,000 Israelites who are sealed, being saved, as noted in Revelation chapter 7. Angels are also involved in the seven trumpet judgments, with the utter destruction that they cause to the earth and its inhabitants, both people and animals. These judgments are seen in Revelation chapters 8 through 11. There are seven angels with seven plagues, and angels pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God, noted in Revelation chapters 15 and 16. These bowls of wrath from the angels bring severe punishment to the followers of the Antichrist, that is, the world leader. If you haven't read the book of Revelation lately, or have never read it, I would encourage you to do so. I understand that a lot of what it says can be scary, and especially so since all that it says is really going to happen, but it is beneficial for you and helpful for you if you read it. Plus, God will give you a special blessing if you read it out loud, as he does for anyone who will read this book aloud and believes what it says. So the final question, question 10, what is the future relationship between Christians and angels? It should be noted that we as Christians after this life will judge angels. The Apostle Paul notes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3 that, "Do you not know that we are to judge angels?" And Christians will also be like angels, and that there is no marriage in heaven, for angels themselves do not marry. I want to consider one more lengthy passage. This one is found in Matthew chapter 22, and let's look at verses 23 through 30, if you'll turn there in your Bibles or navigate there in your Bible app. The passage states, "The same day Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her.' But Jesus answered them, 'You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven.'" I know that this is a particularly hard passage, especially for those who are married and hate the thought of not being married. But you who are married, you have to remember that when we are in heaven, we will actually see God and have fellowship with him. And we will be fulfilled so much that marriage on the earth will pale in comparison to this fellowship with God. And as long as your spouse is a believer, he or she will be with you in heaven with God, and you will still have fellowship with that person, and that fellowship will be even better than the fellowship that you have right now. In closing today, Let's consider a parable that Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 15 and verses 8 through 10. This passage states, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus also said in Luke chapter 12 and verses 8 and 9, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Jesus doesn't want to have to deny anyone before the Father in heaven. He wants everyone, which includes you, to come into a personal relationship with Him. God loves everyone, and there are no exceptions to His love. There is no offense or offenses you could commit against God, in and of which He would not then offer you His salvation. God will forgive any offense or offenses, no matter how heinous. Even if you are trapped in an overpowering habit or problem, God still wants you to come to Him today and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He can help you where you need help, no matter what. If you would like to accept Jesus today as your personal Lord and Savior, then pray with me this simple prayer. God, I am a sinner. I have not lived my life following your will, but have done what I have wanted to do, and it has not turned out so great. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that He rose from the dead so that I might have a new beginning in you. I surrender my life over to you so that you will take care of me. Please, Father, change my life and make me become like Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. You've been listening to Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To read transcripts or download entire messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. Also, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/peacetoliveby. You can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. We love to hear from our listeners. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. Your messages are encouraging and inspiring for us. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry in Powell, Ohio.